Hi there, it's Kathleen here, and welcome to The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. Let me encourage you to not just listen, but partner with God and practice what He speaks to you. You can access more information about me, my newspaper articles, upcoming events, contact me, or purchase my book, Thriving Through Seasons of Grief, on my website at www.kathleenmaxwellranby.com. This podcast is now in 28 countries, and people have donated so that you can listen free. Will you consider paying it forward for someone else by giving a one-time or monthly gift? Simply click the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage at the top of the podcast. And don't forget to click the like or follow, and you'll be the first to know when new episodes are released. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome to the Gathering podcast and Bible study. I have been doing this Bible study in the Uvalde area for a few weeks now, and yesterday doing the study, I had technical difficulties. So this will be a re-recording of the message. So if you were there at the lesson, this recording will be a little bit different because it is very hard for me to do the same message twice exactly the same. But the Lord knows what needs to be said today, and He certainly knows why the one yesterday didn't work. And actually, I enjoyed really preparing again because God just speaks different things and He knows who the listeners are. So let's jump into today's lesson. I'm going to tell you, it's been one of the favorite lessons of the people throughout the years I've taught it. I haven't taught it in a few years, but it is one that I think has really struck a chord. And yesterday I noticed people had notes everywhere. If you come to my Bible study in person, you get notes, you get study questions, you get newspaper articles that are related. And I had numerous people come up and had written things down all over the paper in addition to the notes that I was instructing them to take specifically. So you may want to grab a pen and a paper. You may want to grab your Bible, get you something to drink, cup of coffee, hot tea, whatever floats your boat, and let's sit down for a minute and spend some time with Jesus and just see what He says about how to deal with life's disappointments. So, this message was birthed around 2006 to 2010. I had had some real disappointments that had hit me and back to back. And one morning in my quiet time, God showed me that the things that I was talking to Him about were really disappointments and that He wanted me to let go of them. And I said, well, Lord, I need You to show me how. And another thing I felt the Lord tell me was that He wanted me to be free. And He wanted me to be free of the sorrow, the sadness, and some of the other negative emotions I was feeling as I go throughout my day. And He wanted me to open my eyes to the beauty that He saw in them. You know, God sees things from a different perspective many times. And so I dove into Scripture. I began to ask God what He was trying to say to me. And this lesson came about. So I am going to ask you right now to write down three disappointments in your life. I'm going to give you a minute to do it, but just three that come to mind. And you may write more down as I talk a little bit. And the reason I'm having you do this is because this can be a starting point for dealing with some of the things in our heart. You know, our heart is what the Lord is most interested in. So, number one in our note-taking, the definition of disappointment is sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes, dreams, and expectation. I'm going to say that again. It's the sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes, dreams, and expectations. And there are many kinds of disappointments in life. Once I began dealing with the initial ones that I could see in my life at that current time, then I was able to go back and deal with things that I perhaps hadn't dealt with or needed to deal with at a deeper level in my life. But there are many kinds of disappointment. Sometimes they're little things. You know, somebody says they're going to meet us and then they don't show up. Sometimes they're big things. You battle an illness, a loved one battles an illness, there's a death. There's many different kinds of disappointments, and there's everything in between. There can be disappointment at work, in the workplace. I've worked for different organizations throughout the years and in different capacities, and I can tell you in each one of them there have been disappointments along the way. Sometimes our disappointments can be very heartbreaking. One example is perhaps someone you expected to spend the rest of your life with is gone due to a death or a divorce. That's a disappointment. I know with my late husband, we married young and we really had a lot of plans for when our kids were all gone. And he was suddenly, our youngest went off to college and Joe got sick in 2009. And was gone 9 months later. And so that was a huge jolt because we had planned to spend the rest of our lives together, and a huge disappointment and grief. I've talked to many people throughout my years of ministry, to lots of different people in lots of different situations. I've been in ministry for 2 decades now. And divorce is the death of a dream. A divorce is also something that's a disappointment to many. I had one person say, I felt like such a failure when I couldn't make my marriage work. And maybe your spouse was unfaithful to you. Someone you trusted, you really trusted. A leader, they betrayed you. Maybe a cutback at work where you lost your job, or financial disappointment. You've gotten into a real financial crisis and you're disappointed in yourself. You're disappointed in the person that didn't pay you. Perhaps you've been praying for somebody to be healed. This is another disappointment and that hadn't happened yet, or it doesn't happen. And you're disappointed in God. Maybe you're battling right now a medical setback. I know back in June of this year, I tripped and fell and on a cobblestone sidewalk. My toe caught it and all of a sudden I went down and the curbs are squared. They're not rounded like they are here in the States. And when I fell on my hip, it severely damaged my abductor muscle and tendon, and it tore off the bone. And man, that was a setback for me. It was a medical setback because if you know me, I'm a real busy person. I go to the gym 5 days a week because it's one of my happy spots and stress relievers. And I was dependent on other people. That was hard for a pretty independent, self-sufficient girl. So there were some disappointments, and I remember sitting in my living room not long after that happened and the news was unrolling that I needed surgery and it was worse than I thought and all the things and what recovery would look like, and I had to give that disappointment to the Lord. Another disappointment can be a relationship comes to an end, maybe in your family or with a friend that you've been a longtime friend. That is a disappointment, and I had that happen. Goodness, several years ago, and I had to really be honest and just talk to the Lord about the disappointment in my friend's response and in our interaction, and you know, the relationship just we parted ways. And that was very saddening to me because it wasn't what I wanted. So, have you ever depended on someone? They said, "Yeah, I'm going to do this for you," or "Yeah," and they dropped the ball. That's a disappointment too. And then it costs you or makes you look bad. Another disappointment is abuse, sexual, verbal, physical abuse. People that are supposed to love you and care for you and treasure you do not, for whatever reason. And usually it's because of their own hurt and disappointments that have never been dealt with. Wounded people wound other people. Sometimes we make mistakes and we disappoint ourselves in our words or our actions. And there are disappointments when someone can say something ugly or insensitive or tells a lie about you. Maybe somebody you love makes a wrong choice. Unfulfilled expectations of people can lead us to disappointments. We expect someone maybe to have God's heart for us. I think some of the hardest disappointments to get over are those that are by Christians. And Christians aren't perfect people. They're just people that realize they need Jesus. And sometimes, yeah, that is a disappointment when a Christian does something that's out of character with God's heart. Perhaps people in the church have hurt you and disappointed you. And then there's disappointments in marriage. I think anytime you live with somebody, you find out more and more and more, and that can be difficult and challenging in a way. And those disappointments can keep us stuck in our marriage. How about another disappointment? Infertility. You're not able to have children. That's a huge disappointment. You're not able to have grandchildren. That's a huge disappointment. Your child makes a wrong choice, and that's a disappointment. You've trained them well, you've taught them the Word of God. They make a choice that is disappointing to you as a parent. Losing a baby. I had a baby and or was pregnant. I have three children. 6 years after my youngest was born, I got pregnant again and had really we were excited and my heart had knit with this little baby. I was definitely going to be an older mom. And then I lost that child and it was a real disappointment for me and a real sorrow. I've got two grandchildren that have some special needs. And I know that that's been a disappointment for us and their parents. Not that we would not trade any of them for the world. They're absolutely adorable. But it wasn't what everyone expected. And we had to lay down that disappointment. You know, a disappointment is an unfulfilled expectation, dream, or hope. But Psalms tells us who we need to put our expectation in. And I found this scripture and it really kind of changed my thinking. It's Psalm 62, verse 5, and it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is in him." We can go down a wrong road in our life when we put our expectation in other people and in anything but God. So that is powerful, and somebody needs to hear that today. David was commanding his soul, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." You know, people disappoint us. I'm sure I've disappointed people throughout my life, and I am very sorry about that. My heart is to be a blessing and to always walk in a way that pleases Jesus, but I'm not perfect. And so I'm sure that I have disappointed people. I'm human, I fail, but it's never been my heart. And I haven't had all these disappointments that I've talked to you about, but I've had my share for sure. But one thing that I have found is when I really turn to the Lord, turn to Jesus, that's when my freedom can come. And we don't really We have such an opportunity to get to know the heart of God in our disappointment. When we look at the ashes of our life, when we sit there and don't just whine, don't just sit in self-pity, we need to embrace the reality many times of a situation. We just need to embrace it. But we don't get to know the heart of God, I don't think, in a deep way, apart from disappointments. And we don't know God is all we need apart from our disappointments. Beth Moore says it well. She says, Beth Moore is a popular Christian speaker and writer. She says, no one has fully embraced the concept of God alone apart from grave disappointments. I'll read it again. No one has fully embraced the concept of God alone apart from grave disappointments. We get to know God in a close way when we give Him our disappointments and press into Him in our disappointments. Number two in your note-taking, God did not promise us an easy life. He just promised to be with us. To be with us is what goes in that blank. He promises to be with us in the midst of whatever we're going through. And it tells us that numerous passages in the Bible. Many people, you know, they just expect life here on earth to always be a skip in the park. And it's just not. And the Bible tells us it's not going to be. It says in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Right there, Jesus tells us, you're going to have trouble in this world. The perfect is coming, the perfect is heaven, but as long as you're walking and breathing here on this earth, there's going to be things you need to overcome. And and Jesus says, take heart, I've overcome the world, and I walk right beside you. And this is a promise that shows us that we can get the better of the situation when we turn to God to evict our disappointments. And evict means to kick out. To kick them out, because when we coddle and play with our disappointments, we can fall into self-pity, sulking, just things that we don't need to. Isaiah 41 verse 10 and 13 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. So if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I just don't know about this appointment. I'm just really struggling with it. And I feel so alone. God says, hey, wait a minute. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you and hold you by the right hand. Gives us those promises. Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. Man, powerful passage. So to me, the big question is, who are you and I going to be in the midst of our disappointment? And what do we do with it? Do we coddle it? Do we sulk in it? Do we wallow in self-pity and depression? Or do we make it a stepping stone? We get to choose. And disappointments can make us stumble and fall and go into sinful things, to look to things like pain, medicate our pain, medicate with drugs, with alcohol, with ungodly behavior if we don't heal them. You know, I worked with them for a number of years. I worked with women at the Christian Women's Job Corps in Kirk County, and men, women that were trying to get a better life. Coming through abuse, coming through addiction, coming through wrong choices in life, coming through great sorrow. And I saw many of them medicate their pain in that process. And that's not the best that God has for us. And we must lay down our pride, our expectations, and disappointments to discover the goodness of God and the relationship we can have with a wonderful Savior, even in the midst of our pile of ashes. And that's what I call divine justice. Divine justice says I can use my disappointments as stepping stones and use them to strengthen me. Then I can help others get free. You know, as you deal with your own stuff, and as you soak up these scriptures, as you learn to do them, as you learn to practice them, no doubt God's going to put people in your life that you're going to be able to help. It's not just about me and my life or my podcast or my Bible study. God has people he wants you to help. And I feel like part of my calling is equipping people that are seeking Jesus to not just apply his word and practice his word, but to give it away to other people. And so I want to talk to you about three different roads, because I have seen myself on all three of these roads as I dealt with disappointments. If we don't deal with our disappointments, we focus on the negative. And so the first road I have found myself on was blaming drive. Blame another person. Let me just give you all three. Blaming drive, questioning lane, and the acceptance road. So on blaming drive, I found the opportunity to blame others, get mad, get angry, get bitter, lose hope, oftentimes blame God, get mad at him and accuse him of something he never did. We simply live in a fallen world, and so we're going to encounter disappointments. But we don't want to stay focused on the negative, because if we do, we could miss Jesus right there in our circumstances. And I was reading a passage about Jesus in his time on earth. And I was reading about the Pharisees, and those were the religious leaders. They studied the law. They thought they knew everything. And they had an expectation of God sending Jesus in as a king. I don't know if they thought he was going to ride on a white horse or exactly what they thought. But God did it in a different way. God sent his son in a manger. And it mentions that in Matthew. But the Pharisees were so busy criticizing Jesus, and he was right there in their midst, but they were on their case. They got mad at him for eating with sinners. They got mad at him for healing somebody on a Sunday. So number four in your note taking, focusing on disappointments can make us judgmental and critical. Judgmental and critical. The Pharisees were very judgmental and critical of Jesus. Everything it seemed like he was doing, they were not wanting to embrace that this was a son of God. He had just come in a different way. The Pharisees thought they knew God and they had a lot of head knowledge, but they weren't seeing the heart of God. They studied the letter of the law, and their disappointment caused them to miss Jesus right in the midst of their situation. And if we're not careful, we'll become, in our anger, in our bitterness, in our hopelessness, in our self-pity, we will miss what God is trying to work in us right in the middle of our situation. We can get very judgmental and critical of other people. And sometimes we have to take a step back and wait and put our expectation in God. We cited that scripture in Psalm 62. Because we don't want to become critical, bitter people. Jesus was right there in their midst, and they missed hugging him and embracing him and really learning from them. But it is in sometimes our disappointment we get to know the heart of God in such a good way. Because many times we're trying to figure out our disappointment in our head. And it's a matter of the heart of trusting God, of stepping back and say, this is a huge disappointment. I don't like it. I wish it hadn't happened, but God, I trust you. And so the healing that you need, that I need in my life, is not in my head, but it's in my heart. Because it's okay to admit your feelings. And we can't let circumstances we don't like determine our level of faith and passion. And the place of our disappointment is where we get to dig deep and draw on the strength of God. You know, there was a time when my late husband made some decisions and some wrong choices, and it cost me dearly. And I got mad, I got bitter, I got disillusioned. I blamed him, I blamed God, I blamed other people. And it got me no place. It got me no place, I will tell you. There was something deeper God wanted to work in my heart in the midst of this disappointment. The big key to get off the road in our disappointments is forgiveness. And forgiveness is number 5. It goes in that first blank. The big key to get off of blaming road is forgiveness. Forgiving God, forgiving ourselves, forgiving others is vital to our freedom. Freedom is the next word that goes in the blank. You know, forgiveness means to cancel or pardon a debt. It's to stop feeling angry or resentful for an offense. And forgiveness puts you in control. When I quit blaming and started forgiving, that is when our marriage began to move forward. And God brought so much restoration to our marriage, and my marriage was better than I could have ever hoped or dreamed. But I had to do my work. And my work and my part was forgiveness. I've got, several podcasts about forgiveness. The Power of Forgiveness is what it's titled if you want to do a search for it. In the little magnifying glass, you can type in those words and you can look at all. You can type in forgiveness and there should be a number of podcasts that pop up. I would highly recommend Forgiveness, The Power of Forgiveness Part 1 and Part 2. When I lost the baby I lost, I'd asked God to heal me, to take care of this baby, to not let me lose her, and it did happen. And I really had to forgive God. I was disappointed that he didn't give me that baby, and that he didn't heal her, and that things happened like they did. I may never understand why, but I did choose to trust him and give him that grief, that sorrow, and that disappointment. The next road we can find ourselves on is the questioning road. The questioning road has lots of potholes. So this is number 6, has lots of potholes and slows you down and keeps you stuck. And I have found that, you know, when I have been on this road, I've camped on this road numerous times. I camped on this road when my mom got sick of a rare autoimmune disease. It was hard. Why my mom? Why now? Why didn't God heal her? How could he let this happen to somebody that had given so much of her life to helping others in our community? And it kept me stuck. It kept me slowed down. And it's often characterized by paralysis of analysis, going over and over and over and over something, you know, trying to figure it out with our head. Folks, there's just things we're not going to understand. We're just not. And that questioning road kept me stuck. The big question is, what? God, what do you want to work in me? What do you want to work out of me? And can you trust God if you never get the answer to the why question? That is the big question. And I missed where God was right in the beginning of her illness because I kept questioning. I felt like a victim, and it kept me stuck. And I'm sure it sounded like a broken record. You know, in Psalms 22, David questioned God. David in the Bible, he said, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? And then Jesus even asked his father. He said, well, he's hanging on the cross, why have you forsaken me? And do you know God didn't answer him? He didn't answer his own son. See, God had a bigger plan. God was going to use that disappointment. God was going to use that. But Jesus was being honest about his feelings. I love that about him. He was being honest. He poured out his heart. But, you know, what I realized in my time of questioning is if God didn't answer his own son, why would I think he's going to give me an answer? Sometimes God might answer you and tell you why. But I have found many times, in fact, when my late husband got a rare cancer that took him in 9 months, I never have asked God why, because I just knew it'd keep me stuck. And I'd already been through enough grief and sorrow with my mom, and I didn't want to stay stuck. Number seven, don't ask God why, but what. God, what do you want to work in me and out of me? Work is the word that goes in that blank. Get to know God in your heart, not just your head. And I learned a lot about God's heart for me and his heart for the brokenhearted and his heart and just how much he loved me and some of the greatest disappointments of my life. Number eight, in life's disappointments, often we can't figure it out in our heads because it's a matter of the heart and trusting God. It's a matter of the heart goes in the blank and trusting God. And so one of my prayers has become, Lord, open my eyes to see you in this disappointment. I don't want to miss an opportunity to get to know you better. I don't want to stay camped. The best road, and this is number nine, the best road is the acceptance road. Choosing not to live in my disappointment, but walk by faith, joy, and trust. And that God holds all that we do, and that he holds our future. He holds our heart, he holds our future. The best road is the acceptance road. It's saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. I declare my trust in you. I want you to say that right now, wherever you are. I declare my trust in you. And Romans 8:28 promises that all things, even our disappointments, will work together for good. And this is the faith road. This is the road that keeps us moving. This is the road that allows us to go through those disappointments, but not camp on them. God promises that he will make everything work together for good in our lives. And I've found that many of my circumstances are about being conformed to his image. You know, I can see now a lot of the grief and heartache that I have been through in my own life. God has worked it together for good. I'm a completely different person than if you would have met me 15, 20 years ago. I'm a completely different person. God's birthed many things from that. I write for newspapers in the faith section. I love giving people hope. I love speaking at events. And I have loved sharing just the hope and healing Jesus brings to a brokenhearted community here in Uvalde. The acceptance road helps us say yes to the process of walking with God. And that's when we can see him work it together for good. It's waiting on God, the acceptance road. And many times we have to wait on God. But that's how we walk with him, by faith. You know, as I accepted my husband's terminal illness, and let me just say, we were fighting in faith from the day of the diagnosis to the day he died. There was more of a peace that came to my heart. And what I mean is, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how you're going to heal him. I don't know how I'm going to live life without him if you don't. But God spoke to me and he said, I'll either heal Joe or I'll heal your broken heart. And that's what I clung to. But I admitted, this is a disappointment. This is not how we were going to spend our golden days, or we couldn't wait for our second honeymoon when our kids all left. And it was a huge disappointment on many levels. But acceptance helps us move forward and puts us on a road that's called win-win. Psalm 47 verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And letting go of our disappointments is not just a one-time event. Many times it's a process. And the greater the disappointment, sometimes the longer the process can be. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have lost a mother at an early age or a father. Some of you have lost a good friend. Some of you have had some deep things, and that process, that grief process, can take a while. If you don't or are not aware, I've written a book called Thriving Through Seasons of Grief. It's available on Amazon. And I would encourage you to pick up my book because the book is titled Thriving Through Seasons of Grief, How to Overcome in Life's Disappointments, Change, and Loss. So I go even further in that book. But letting go, when we let go of our disappointments, and sometimes just you got to start somewhere. And we're going to talk a little bit about how to do that. But it declares our trust in God. And also, as we seek God in our pain, it's this process that makes us rich. Psalm 84, I want to just begin to wrap things up with this. Disappointment is sorrow. And in this passage in Psalm 84, it tells us of the benefits of admitting and embracing our sorrow. Psalm 84, verse 5 says, "Blessed are those," you're blessed in your disappointment. "Blessed are those whose strength is in you," if you're putting your strength in God, "whose heart is set on a pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca." And that word Baca, when you look it up in the concordance, it means tears. So that, if this was a modern day language, it'd say, as we pass through the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. That's where you can be refreshed. The autumn rains cover it with pools. The spring you deep from, that you dig deep, as you get to know the heart of God, a spring can come up and satisfy you and bring peace to you. And then in that, it makes a pool. And from the pool, others can come and drink. And so that's a powerful passage and one I kept hanging on to. Lord, help me pass through this valley of tears, this valley of pain. And that's where we can make it a stepping stone in our life. So we don't get stuck in self-pity. And, you know, as we embrace our disappointments and accept it, and you can even still be believing in faith, but accept it, that is when I think the peace and freedom comes, because you begin your walk of faith and you have someone you can give your disappointment to. And it moves us from strength to strength. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and to open the doors to those that are bound." God will supply. 2 Corinthians 12:9 states, "His grace is sufficient." As we set our hearts on embracing the journey of walking with Jesus, surrendering our disappointment to Him and accepting it, we must focus on the fact that the season will pass and we will pass through. It might cost us some tears, but go ahead and cry. It's okay to admit how you feel about something. It is so totally okay. And God loves it when we pour out our heart. Many people in the Bible did that. So don't try to hold it in. Don't try to suck it up. And be strong. Embrace where you're at. You know, spiritual disease can set in any place that we don't bring our disappointment to the Lord for His healing touch. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. If we don't deal with these things, we're going to stay focused on the negative. And it's time, I think, we evict the negative. Because if we allow our disappointments to dominate our hearts, it will make us sick and cause us to be blinded to God's hand working in my life, in your life. We must monitor our heart to turn the valley of weeping into springs. And I want to just pray with you and give you an opportunity to begin this process. Some of you have the study notes. Those of you that may be listening by podcast, if you shoot me an email, I'm happy to send you the study notes. I can email them to you. But I want to give everyone an opportunity to begin this process. So right now, I want you to think of just one disappointment. Maybe ask the Lord, which one do you want me to deal with first? And number one, I want you to admit your disappointment, and I want you to just pray after me. Say, God, I admit my disappointment. About, and you fill in the blank. And continue praying, Lord, I want to evict this disappointment. I don't want to carry it anymore. The second thing I want you to do is forgive. And you may say, I just can't, and that's okay. Say, Lord, help me to forgive. But if you're at a place to forgive, maybe God, maybe yourself, maybe someone else, just say, Lord, I choose as an act of my will to forgive, and you fill in the blank. And number three, choose to let go of your disappointment. So right now, pray this with me. God, I bring you my disappointment. I choose to hand it to you to carry. I don't want to carry it anymore. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to carry unforgiveness. I look to you, Jesus. So help me see you in the midst of this situation and what you want to do. And number four, our words have power. I want you to declare your trust in God and pray this with me. God, I choose to trust you in my disappointment. And number five, open your heart to the Lord. Pray and say this, Lord, I just open my heart to you to heal my heart. Help me, God, to not just look at things with my head, but heal my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I ask that you just pour your healing upon each listener. Father, that more anointing come. And Father, that you would bind up the brokenhearted. And I just proclaim liberty to those that have been held captive by their disappointments. Lord, pour your grace, your strength, your love over them. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you got something out of this podcast. If you did, leave a comment. Be sure and like the episode because it helps get more out there. You can also share this with other people. There's a little share button. Go to the three dots and you should be able to find it. And I'd love to hear your testimonies of what God's doing in your life. So have a wonderful day and evict those disappointments. See you next week.